Welcome, welcome, welcome. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jawanza. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. It's a beautiful day. Glad to be able to see it. Very, very thankful. Speaking of thankful, we're going to be talking about thankfulness this morning. We're going to be talking about thankfulness and its effect on the brain and the body. That's right. Thankfulness and its effect on the brain and the body. You know, thankfulness, being thankful, has its perks. You know, so, I mean, it's not just a good thing to be. I mean, just for the sake of being thankful, it does have perks. So we're going to be talking about that today. My special guest is a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine, and we're very, very blessed and fortunate to have Dr. Ted Watkins, MD, and I stress MD, he's a medical doctor. A lot of times when you're hearing information on holistic health, in many cases, you're hearing it from people who aren't doctors. I mean, medical doctors. I mean, you know, they have very, very valuable information to share. But just so that you know that the person that you'll be hearing today has actually opened the body. Okay, he's opened it up, looked on the inside. He knows the body inside and out. Dr. Ted Watkins, let me tell you a little bit about him, just in case you're not familiar with him, you're tuning in for the first time. Again, welcome. Dr. Ted Watkins is a graduate of Howard University School of Medicine, the Howard University College of Medicine, and he graduated in 1977. He works in Washington, D.C., and specializes in general practice and family medicine. That's just a brief overview, okay, of who he is and what he does. Again, graduate of Howard University School of Medicine in 1977. He's been on this path for a long time. But again, that little description doesn't really do him justice. So I'll just bring him on and ask him. Dr. Watkins, welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine. Always a pleasure. Happy holidays to you, my brother. Glad you could be back with us today.
I'm glad I could be back. Glad I could be back.
Doctor, again, that was just a brief overview, but for those who are tuning in for the first time, again, we've done many, many shows with Dr. Watkins. After you hear this show today, you're going to want to go back to the archives and scroll down and listen and learn. But, Doc, who is Dr. Watkins? Okay, we got the brief overview, but who is Dr. Watkins, man?
He's a voice crying in the wilderness, man, I tell you.
Okay.
Because I'm telling you, I'm excited. I really am, because even though we've been crying out here for a long time, you know, after I did my residency, I switched over to holistic medicine, and I've been out here on the path, but God has been showing me that His people will hear His voice and will follow, and so what I've attempted to do is really look at what works in terms of medicine, mm-hmm. and lifestyle change, and what I have seen is it is the original diet that God has given us, and the original methods that He's shown us, and so those are the kinds of things that I use with my patients. And you know, the sick get well. You know, people who have supposedly incurable diseases become cured. And I don't like to use the word cured. I just, you know, I laugh. We talked about cancer. I told my patients. Told someone the other not too long ago that I never say I cure anybody, but my patients just don't die. You know, it's like when you follow God's methods, then He will bless you. But one of the concerns is how do we get people to do? And I think that we are so hung up in what society feeds us that we don't take time to really understand. And that's why it hit me the other day when we were getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving. And that's a really good thing. But I think that most of us have missed it. You know, we think about turkey and macaroni and cheese and all the other things that go along with it. But we miss that the purpose is to give thanks. And so I went and started visiting. Well, what does this giving thanks, what does it actually do to us and for us? And it's amazing what it does, you know. I mean, it actually changes our bodies. It literally changes our bodies. It changes the chemistry of our body, man. I mean, giving thanks does that to us, you know. And so one professor said that you know, if giving thanks was a medicine, that it would be beneficial to every organ of the body, man.
Wow, very profound. That's profound.
That every organ of the body is affected when we give thanks.
You know, it's so interesting, Doctor, because I really appreciate this topic, and especially coming from you being a medical doctor. And, of course, we've done shows on this show on, various types of conditions and how to cure them, be it cancer, arthritis, adrenal fatigue, I mean, you name it, diabetes, whatever, heart trouble. I mean, we've talked about it. But to talk about healing from the standpoint of giving thanks, thankfulness and its effect on the brain and the body is another level, is a whole nother level of a treatment, for lack of a better term. And if the giving of thanks has such a profound medical, can have a medical effect on the body, can actually change the composition possibly of even cells, or, you know, even affect us in terms of our sleep patterns, which would reduce anxiety and depression and so forth, then it could certainly prevent certain conditions as well as reverse them. Would you agree?
Well, let's look at it. You know, for many years, I've said that stress is the number one cause of death in this country, stress.
Mm-hmm.
So that negative impact, and we did the piece on stresses, the sub-diseases made out of, you know, a year or so ago. You know, so stress has a very profound negative effect. Well, the opposite of stress is that merry heart, that happiness. You know, if we're happy, if we're expressing thanksgiving, then it has a positive effect on the body. You know, and what we know is that these things all affect our hormone system, and the hormones are the chemicals that really drive us. You know, we're a bunch of chemical, electrical, and magnetic reactions, you know? So that's what we are, and the way we think, the way we feel affects that, you know? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So these thoughts, and then the expression of those thoughts. So negative expression going to produce a negative response. A positive expression will produce a positive response. And so as we express with gratitude, oh, Lord, have mercy, and thanksgiving, they've looked at it. They've shown... this guy who's the head of the division of biologic psychology at Duke University Medical Center, and he looked and he saw that when you looked at some studies that have been done and show that giving thanks affects the brain and that it affects the mood neurotransmitters. Things like serotonin and dopamine, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It affects the reproductive hormones like testosterone, you know. It affects the social binding hormones, you know, the ones that improve pleasure of having sex, oxytocin, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It affects the cognitive and pleasure-related neurotransmitters, things like dopamine, you know. It even affects the inflammatory and immune systems, you know. There's something we call cytokines. These are things that actually, when you have an injury, they're the first things that's activated in the inflammatory defense mechanism. I think we talked about at our last session with you, we talked about inflammation in the brain. Well, the cytokines, if you recall, was that first thing that's activated, the cytokines and the chemicals. First things that's and the expression of thanks even affects that. It depresses the stress hormones, the cortisols, you know. It's even been shown that it affects the heart and the EKG rhythm, you know. It affects your blood pressure, it affects your blood sugar. Giving thanks is just a tremendous thing. And we need to do more often.
You know what's interesting is this, and I'd like your thoughts on this. It appears from what you're saying that because it's a brain thing, the effects are on the brain, the attitude, all of that, it's affecting the brain, that there's no morality involved in the results of the giving of thanks. For example, you could take somebody who's a part of, let's say, a bank heisting gang, you know. And so you might have some younger person in the gang who hasn't made his first run yet. He's been waiting his turn, right? And so now the leader of the gang comes to him and says, okay, you're ready. You're ready now. Tonight's your night. Now, this young gang member could be thankful. Okay, he could be extremely filled with gratitude that he finally gets his shot to do something wrong. You know what I mean? So would the effect the same, even though the morality piece is clearly off here in this example, but would the effect of the dopamine and all of the other chemicals and the cortisol, would that still be the same, even though it's a bad decision to make?
When a person commits adultery, the chemicals in the body are stimulated. That's a morality issue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now they'll suffer in other ways, you know.
True.
But yes, the body doesn't
discriminate.
In fact, the research shows that the body has difficulty differentiating between real and false. One author said that when you watch television and a sad movie, you'll cry, even though you know that it's not real. You read a sad book, you know, or you read something that makes you angry, you'll respond emotionally, even though you know that it's false. You understand? The body doesn't have the capacity to differentiate between those things. And so we have to, therefore, get that from a different source. If you please, if you
mm-hmm.
give thanks for something negative, the body will respond in a positive way. But then, I believe that because God made us to do the right thing, that He puts other things in us that will counter that. But
interesting.
It's amazing. It's amazing, you know.
Well, you know what's interesting too, doctors. You have people that, for example, might find it, especially around the holidays, okay, there may be people who, sitting around the table at Thanksgiving, there's one less person or several less people because they may have passed on, or, again, Christmas time, and people go into, you know, these states of depression and anxiety because of the fact that they're, you know, cooking for one less or more than one less, more, you know, more people that aren't there this year than were there last year. Some people may wake up and find it difficult to look at their situation and be thankful. You know, you might take somebody that's in a bad marriage or unemployed or, you know, whatever you would think would cause someone to be unhappy. What would you say about that? I mean, you know, just people who...
Well, there's always the opportunity to give thanks. The mere fact that they have to recognize it, they're able to recognize that someone is not there, is something to give thanks, because they don't have to be here either. You know, we weren't promised that we have to be here. I mean, that's a gift of God. You know, we haven't done anything to earn it. You know, certainly we can do things to that will benefit our bodies, but even putting good food in doesn't guarantee that you're going to live. So mm-hmm. It's a blessing. It's a choice that we make. We choose whether we're going to focus on the negative or we're going to focus on the positive. You know, this weekend we gave thanks at dinner, you know, and I was the elder statesman, so I led out and I talked about the fact that, you know, it's my upbringing that was really significant. You know, my mother, she's not here, but she's here. You understand? I mean, I remember when my mother passed, the undertaker said, "I'm going to fix it so you'll never forget." I said, "Man, there's nothing you can do that will impact my memory of my mother. Nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
negatively or positively." I said, "She's indelibly imprinted in me because I am who I am because of my mother. So I can choose to be negative, and sure, I cried at the funeral, you know, but there were tears of joy also because, you know, when I look at who I am, it's no question it was because of my mother. So I can choose to be sad, and I am sad at times, but I'm also thankful for what she's done. And I laugh, even some of the negative stuff, you know, when she beat me with a stick one time, you know, because I was getting big and she thought I was being sassy, but I wouldn't be sassy with my mama, but she thought I was, and she just wanted to let me know, you know, I'm the mama, you know, and I look upon that because my daddy wasn't there, you know, he left us, you know, and so she had to stand up, and she did. With a little skinny self. She's skinny like her son. So I'm skinny like her. You understand what I'm saying? So we can choose to be negative if we want, or we can choose to take that lemon and make some lemonade out of it and enjoy life, you know? I look at my children. I look at my grandchildren, and they are a reflection of my mother and my wife's mother, and, you know, and I'm sure my daddy's in there someplace too, but I just never knew him. And so he didn't have he may have a genetic impact, but he never had a physical impact because he wasn't there. But my mother has a genetic and a physical impact, you know.
You know, Doc,
it's interesting.
Yeah.
I was talking to my niece yesterday. I hadn't seen her in a while, so she came for dinner. And I was telling her, you know, about the fact that I did not go to public high school, and the reason was because of my mother. You know, she would not let me go because my niece's father had gone, and his grades had dropped, and he stopped going to church and so forth. And my mother said, "No, that ain't gonna happen no more." And she put her foot down, but she didn't have any money to send me to school, you know, to private boarding academy, but she was able to influenced me to go down there in spite of the fact that I didn't want to go, to go down there and work my way through academy. And then I finally saw what she saw later on down the road, you know. So it's we all have choices, you know. But I give thanks for that strong, skinny woman, you know. And you know, she is still present in my life. And we have opportunities to think negative or think positive. And I choose to give thanks in all things.
Well, you know, let's talk about divinity for a moment, and we'll tie this into the discussion. The premise of divinity. There's an author, a leader, name is Dr. Ra'u Nefa Amin, and he's written many books. And the premise in his books, the basic bottom line, is that we are divine by nature, made in the image and likeness of God. Okay, now, of course, God is not a human, so being made in the image of likeness of God can't be the reflection of God from the physical standpoint of, well, God's human and we look like God because he's human and so are we. So it has to be the divinity piece, okay? We were made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, we share the same qualities as God, but just not in the same quantity. He uses the example, a drop of water is made up of the same components of the ocean. The only difference is you can't sail a ship on a drop of water, but it still has the same life-giving properties as the water in the ocean. So if we look at from the standpoint, we look at life from the standpoint that we, in fact, are divine, okay, and that we are made in the image and the likeness of God, then we know that certain things, and if we look at, for example, life and the challenges, quote, end quote, that come upon us as opportunities instead of challenges, but opportunities to grow. Nice. Okay, as opportunities to grow, then we could be thankful for even the, quote, challenges, end quote, because we understand then that these things are coming our way, not for us to wallow in them, not for to be overtaken by them, but, in fact, to grow from them. And if that's true, then we understand that if we can be thankful for the challenges, then everything else is a piece of cake. We can there's nothing that we can't be thankful for.
Well, see, if you know, looking at it from a spiritual perspective, and the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they worship him, must worship him in the spirit and in truth. So looking at it from a spiritual perspective, the Bible says that he will lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, there are things that he will direct us to, you know, but he takes us through it, you know. And so it doesn't matter what the situation is. If I believe that he is directing my life, even though I don't like certain things, I would like it to go a different way. I've learned to trust him. You know, my mother came to my college graduation with my draft notice in her pocketbook. She didn't give it to me until after graduation. But, I mean, I just knew that I was going to get out of going to the Army, you know, because I was going to go to med school. But I ended up having to go. I couldn't get out. You know, I'd gotten all these deferments before, and they said, no, we very familiar with you. You got to go, you know. And I went in the Army, you know. But the Army turned out to be a blessing to me. I mean, I hated the Army. I used to walk and try to figure out, should I stay or should I leave, you know, because it was so, you know, some of the stuff was so negative. I'm telling you, man. It was difficult. I was a platoon leader, but it was like they didn't go by reason. There was no thought. You know, you just go and stand, you know. And I wasn't used to that kind of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And I hated it. But I, you know, once I got through the basics and so forth, and I got in lab school, they said, you are a student first and a soldier second. I said, all right. and then as I went, got out of the Army and I applied for my GI benefits when I got in med school, I mean, the Army basically paid much of my med school expenses, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when I got into practice and I bought my first house through the GI Bill, the Army, I was able to get it because of that. So what I'm saying is that God understood that long before I did, and he provided a way. And, you know, I've learned to trust him even when I can't trace him, you know? And so that's my definition of faith. We have to have faith in God. We have to have faith in the divine, knowing that, that the divine is for us, not against us. And so and as we give thanks to him, you know, one of the researchers said that people who go to church and are involved in spiritual matters tend to give thanks more and therefore tend to be healthier than people who don't, you know. This morning I was listening and reading David, you know, and I said, wow, I now understand why David was seen as being such an outstanding person in God's eyes, because he constantly gave thanks. I started at Psalms 100, and I was up to 120 something, and just about every chapter he was giving thanks, you know. So and like I said, I just stopped there. I'm sure if I go further, there's going to be more, you know. And if I go back, you know, there's going to be more. So the process of giving thanks, didn't start with us, but it's something that God put in us. And if we do it, it has a tremendous positive impact on our bodies.
Well, you know, I was preparing for the show, and I started, you know, looking up some, you know, articles even on thankfulness and its effect as well. And one author had written a piece and was talking about, and I'd like your thoughts on this too, is that true gratitude is not comparing yourself to someone else and saying, oh, I've got more than them, so I'm thankful. You know, for example, I might have food in my refrigerator and someone else doesn't, therefore I'm thankful. He was like, that's not true gratitude. You know, being thankful is just being thankful for what you have, not based on what somebody else doesn't have.
Matter of fact, one article I read said that people who are truly thankful and express gratitude are less likely to compare themselves with others, all right, are less likely to look down upon others, and are more likely to be magnanimous and to contribute to others, to do for others, you know. So giving thanks helps us appreciate that we're getting things that we don't deserve, you know. I mean, I'm not where I am because I did all the right things and I deserve it. I'm here because of the blessings of God, and I recognize it, you know. That's why I'm here on this program, you know, because, you know, God has blessed me with some information, and I choose to give it to others because as I give, I get more.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
If I just keep it, I'm going to be locked in trying to keep it. I don't have room to grow. And so giving it away helps God to bring more. You know, just even looking at preparing for this program, I grew.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some things that I didn't know that I was exposed to. And so as we give thanks and as we give away what God has given us, he gives us more. It's like he gives thanks. And he blesses us. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's tremendous.
Reminds me of the scripture. I know you're familiar with it. Given it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom.
That's right. That's right. That's right. The more you cannot beat God given. No matter how you try. You know, so mm-hmm. so it's like we want to constantly give him thanks and recognize that we're where we are not because of how smart we are, how hard we work. Yes, we are smart. I mean, I remember she's my play sister, man. I just call her my sister. She's the first person to ever call me brilliant, you know. And I used to argue with it. I was not brilliant. I just worked hard, you know. But at some point, I recognized, you know, yeah, I am brilliant. God made me. He provided a certain level of brilliance there, you know. But then I was able to also recognize when I was able to appreciate what God has done for me that, yeah, Juwan's is brilliant too, you know, and that others are brilliant also. And so I now surround myself with brilliant people, and they're not a threat to me because mm-hmm. of what God has given to me. And so I give thanks to him for even the recognition of what he's done and the recognition of what he's done in your life. And so I'm able mm-hmm. to appreciate you, you know, mm-hmm. and give thanks for you mm-hmm. and the brilliance that you bring to the table, you know. And then we're able to come together, you know, because you're not a threat to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, some people are narcissistic, and everything has to surround. They have to be the center of everything, and so they don't accomplish anything, or mm-hmm. accomplish not nearly as much as they could. We recognize and give thanks for what God has done for us, and he's done for others. You know, my wife and I, we work very well together because I recognize she has strengths that I don't have.
Right.
Or have not, which, you know, choose not to use, you know. And I have strengths that she chooses not to use. And so we work together, you know. I don't like paying the bills, you know. So I give her the money, and she pays the bills.
Right.
But at one point, I took over the bill just to show her that I could do it. Then I gave it back to her. You understand?
Right.
Because she doesn't mind doing it. She's good at it. She's good at it, you mm-hmm. know? And so I know the lights ain't going to be cut off. You know? We're going to have gas, you know? Mm-hmm. All the bills are going to be paid up. Because she does it. And so I give thanks for that, you know. And I don't have to worry about it. My son is my office manager now. And I don't have to worry about taking care, running the office, you know. Because I have somebody that I can trust that he'll, mm-hmm. he'll do it. And he has the talents to do it. And so we mm-hmm. give thanks to God for others as well as giving thanks for what he's done for us.
Let's talk for a moment, Doc, about giving thanks for opportunities, okay, just the opportunity to do certain things. You know, I was looking at television this morning, and I actually had the television on mute for whatever reason, but it was muted, but I could just see the images on the screen, and the images were of something was going on in, I don't know if it was Somalia or something, you know, somewhere over there where the people, you know, just didn't have the amenities that we take for granted. You know, schools, you could just look at it. I mean, whatever they were talking about, the village was looked to be kind of destitute, you know, and you could just tell the living conditions weren't what we would consider optimal, you know. And just when you think about just hearing your testimony and how you were able to go to school and, you know, have all of these things paid for by, you know, the GI Bill and so forth. And when you look at where we live in this country and just opportunities to be able to further our education, if we so choose to be able to pursue whatever course of life we decide we want to choose. I mean, you know, whether we want to go to school or not. And if we do decide to go to school, we can decide what we want to major in. I mean, just all of these opportunities that are available to us that many people do not have. And it's not being thankful because they don't have it, but just being thankful that we do have it. I mean, could you just talk about opportunity.
Well, it's very interesting. I was, you know, when we had all these storms, I was watching television, and they talked about that. You know, I had friends in Florida, and I was in contact with them, or attempted to be in contact with them, to make sure everything was okay. And then I was watching television, and they were, you know, talking about things happening in Florida, but then he said, "Well, the storm has also gone to the islands, and you know." But then he said, "But you know, we're going to support the islands, although we haven't done it as we should, but we're going to support the islands." He said, "But Haiti and Cuba is also affected by the storm, and nobody is going to support them. No government is going to support them." And I said, you know, we got to do something about that. And so I decided to set up a relief program for Haiti. Mm-hmm. And so I've been doing my research on the country, you know, because it's not something I want to do short term. It's something I want to do long term. And you know, but what I found out was that this is a very, very poor country in a sense, but I looked at the educational system. Man, they have a tremendous educational system, even though they don't have facilities and so forth, you know. And I was talking to this guy who goes to church with me, who was referred to me as to someone that is from Haiti, and he could help me. He says that, man, When the educational system is so good in Haiti, when the Haitians would come over to the United States, they would give them 60 credits for college from high school. All right, mm-hmm. 60 credits, because they were so far advanced to us.
Interesting.
Now we have all these facilities, we have all these opportunities, but we don't take advantage of them. You know, and so it's interesting. And when I went to that boarding academy, I, in my class, I was the only one on welfare. Mm-hmm. There were several people in that class who said they wanted to be a doctor. I'm the only one that is. You know, mm-hmm. Now you don't have to be on welfare to be a doctor. Matter of fact, in the next class, there were two doctors in that class. They weren't on welfare. You understand what I'm saying? But I took advantage of the opportunity. And what God did was he opened up door after door after door because of me taking advantage. You know, when I was at NIH, before working there before I went to medical school. Matter of fact, while I was applying to medical school, I worked there. People came up to me in the hall that weren't even in my lab, said, "I understand that you're applying to medical school. May I write a letter of recommendation for you?"
Wow.
You know, it's like God, one of the doctors that paid my first semester for medical school, you know, God will provide for you, you know, if you're willing to take advantage and give thanks for what he's given, as opposed to complain about what you don't have. Start looking at what those kids in Haiti are just tremendous. You know, they eat dirt pies, dirt cakes. Mm. You know, because they don't have food. You know,
mm-hmm.
But they don't complain. They just do it.
But it's hard to study when you're hungry. You know what I mean? So I can imagine.
So why is it that they achieve at such a high level?
See, that is interesting.
So, you know, they're not saying it's so hard. You see, that's the difference. They're just taking advantage. They want more, you know. They may recognize what they don't have, and so they strive to get more. You know, I was talking to my roommate from college. Both of his parents were professors. And he's a brilliant guy, brilliant. I learned much from him. But he never achieved what he was capable of achieving. And I was telling him one night, I said, you know, we were talking, he was complaining about stuff. And I was telling him, I said, you know, one of the differences between you and me is I came from the projects. And in the projects, I said, I think that's one of the reasons I'm a doctor, is because I was from the projects. I said, because in the projects, I learned how to fight.
mm-hmm.
I learned
mm-hmm.
if you get knocked down, you better get up. Because
get
if you don't get
you
up, they're going to stomp you. Yeah, see,
mm-hmm.
they're going to stomp you. And so that attitude that you're going to fight, you're going to get knocked down, yeah. Things are not always going to go your way, yeah. But you can get up. And if you get up more than you get knocked down, you're going to succeed. You see? And so we have to take advantage of opportunities that we're given. Now, my children weren't on welfare. But I taught them the principles, and my wife taught them the principles that we learned coming up. And so they were able to take advantage of those things and not have to be in the projects, not have to be on welfare. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Now, well, let me ask you this, because now, and I mean, this next question could be another show in and of itself, but even when it comes to that, now here you were on welfare, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who've been on welfare and, you know, they figure like, well, look, if I don't work, I don't eat, okay? But then they might rise up to a level, for example, like yourself, of a doctor. Now, your children might not have faced that same situation. It might not be a situation if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, it could be a situation if I don't work, I know there's still food in the refrigerator, okay? So that attitude of I got to go out here and hustle, or else, in a good way, hustle, study, you know, do what I got to do to make it legally, or else I won't make it, you know. For a lot of people who grow up with well-to-do, for lack of a better term, parents, that same hustle, that same drive isn't there. So, and they might not be as thankful. Okay, not speaking of your kids in particular, but, you know, just in this situation.
Well, we can speak to my kids. I mean, one of the things that we taught them is that just because your daddy's a doctor, your mama's a lawyer, it doesn't, you know, mean that you're better than anybody else. But my mm-hmm. son, who's now my office manager, he didn't see it, you know, and I really didn't realize that he saw himself as the Cosby child, you know.
Theo.
Mm-hmm, Theo. Yeah, and his name is Theo, you know.
Okay.
And so what happened, though, when he was in the ninth grade, we sent him to Ghana, all right? He went on a mission trip to Ghana. And when they called back, he and his sister, when they called back in 3 days, I told my wife, I said, Theodore has changed. and when he came back, he said, that he saw himself in a different light. He said those people there didn't have anything. He said, but everybody had their own business. You know, they had a different attitude, and it made a difference with him. You know, now I mean, he didn't immediately go from, you know, bottom to the top, but once it hit, once the light fully turned on. Man, this boy shot up.
Now, how old
was
he when he went up?
He was in the ninth grade, so I guess what?
About
14 years old.
Okay.
And you know, he had to borrow shoes to come back, man. Borrow tennis shoes, because he gave away everything. He came back with empty suitcases, man. Gave away everything he had, you know. And so you got to understand, he took 3 pair of tennis shoes over there, but he bought all those tennis shoes because when he was 12, I paid $100 for a pair of tennis shoes. I said, I'll never pay $100 for no tennis shoes again. And he started his own business, his own lawn cutting business to buy his tennis shoes.
See, when we were coming up, it was kids and PF Flyers,
man. I'm telling you, man. I said, no, there ain't no way I'm going to pay that kind of money for no tennis shoes. And You know, so
he wanted
them, and so he went out and earned the money to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we choose what we teach our children, and we mm-hmm. taught our children to work. We taught our children that we expect them to give back, and all of my children give back. I mean, it is amazing. All of our children, my wife would not like me say my children, all of our
mm-hmm.
children give back to the community. You know, that's who they are, you know, because of what we taught them, all right, and
that
what they were willing to learn.
That to me is an expression of the gratitude. You know, thankfulness, it has to have an expression of more than just thank you. You know, it has to, that being, that giving back is an expression, I think, of thankfulness. Would you agree that giving back is
no question. And people who are thankful tend to give back more. All right, they tend to give back more. Now, one of the things we need to talk about is what happens if you are not as thankful as you should be. Well, there have been several, they call them gratitude exercises that you can do. And one of them that I read about was this psychological coach. She'd have her clients to write down three things that they're thankful for each night before they go to bed. Three things. And she found that if they did it for 1 week straight, that their level of happiness increases, the level of depression decreases for up to 6 months.
Wow.
If they just write down what they're thankful for. I was actually looking at another, and they were saying that they divided into three areas: persons, places, and things that you're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and write them down. Each day or each night,
mm-hmm.
and then go back and read them over. And it's amazing the impact that it has on our bodies.
Now,
on
in
our
that
spirits.
Exercise, in addition to the persons, places, and things, do they have to write the why as well? Why they are thankful for this person? Why they are thankful for this place and or thing?
Well, that would be. In this particular exercise, it didn't mention that, but that would certainly be an extension,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you express it, you know, that would be another layer that would just add, take you one step higher,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
And so you got diabetes, you got hypertension. You got rheumatoid arthritis. You can complain about it, or you can give thanks, Lord. You know, I thank you that I have breath.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I got sugar in my body.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, Lord, if I do what you tell me to do better, because diabetes and hypertension are preventable diseases, you will show me how to reverse it. But if we just spend time complaining about where we are, we'll never recognize that we don't have to be here, that we can get up and move from where we are as we give thanks
mm-hmm.
for what we have. We can get more and more and
more. Let
me
ask you about destiny for a second, Doc, because, for example, you could take somebody that contracts a disease, be it cancer, diabetes, whatever, and it changes their life. I mean, it just
yeah.
completely changes their life. I mean, we know, for example, Dr. Lathan, who is now Dr. Ruby Lathan, who's a
right.
regular on the show, who her life was changed as a result of contracting thyroid cancer, which she ultimately cured. Coy Dunstan, life changed. His mother got cancer, and the the colon, both breasts and the liver, you know, changed his life. And now he's doing something totally different other than what he had set out to do. She's doing something totally different than what she had set out to do. And we're thankful. We're thankful for their life. Okay? That's a colleague of yours, Dr. Latham. What
right.
role do you think destiny played in that? I mean, even with you, the school, and all of a sudden now these doors are just flying open because, yes, you put forth the effort, but what role would destiny play in that?
See, I don't know that I'm a big fan of destiny. I know that the Bible talks about being predestined. I think that all of us are given the opportunity to exceed at a high level. I think that my view of God is he doesn't hold one person down and lift another person up, you know. That if we're willing to do that, he's willing to open doors, you know. And I know sometimes it doesn't seem like it makes sense because one person can work very, very hard and seem to not be able to make an impact. But I believe that if you do, that you will make an impact. It may be a different impact, but it'll be an impact, you know. I look and we hear of people who've made a tremendous impact, but there have been people who we've never heard of and will never hear of who've made tremendous impacts, you know, because they chose to do. You understand? I think sometimes when we look at the destiny and so forth, we're looking at it through our eyes. How we judge, but ultimately we're not to judge. Ultimately, is what have you done with the opportunities that you have been given, and God has to decide that, you know. I appreciate that He's given me a stage to function on, but. If he doesn't give me the stage, does it lessen my responsibility? Does it lessen my opportunity? I think not. You know, one of the greatest impacts I had, I believe, was I was going to the radio station, and this young man approached me. He was homeless, and he asked me for some money, and I said, I don't have any money. And I'm late for my radio show. It's an hour. If you hear when I get back, I got something for you better than money. Mm-hmm. And I rushed on and I did my show. When I came back, he was standing right by my car. And I asked him, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself. And he said he'd been in college, you know, and he started smoking weed. Mm-hmm. And he flunked out of school. He lost his job. He lost his apartment. He was out on the street. And so I told him, I said, you know, I understand. I said, but God says that if you're willing to confess and forsake, he'll forgive. But he'll do more than forgive. He'll forget. He'll ball up your sins. He'll cast them into the depths of the sea. And the great God who forgets nothing says that he'll remember your sins no more. I said, if God is willing to forgive you, and forget, how come you're not willing to do it? And I gave him my card, and I was off. Some months later, man, I heard about this new restaurant. At the time, the radio station was down in Chinatown. I heard about this new vegan restaurant in Chinatown. So I went to it, and as I walked in, somebody said, Dr. Watkins. And I jumped, and he said, you may have forgotten me, but I'll never forget you. He said, what you said to me was so powerful. I'm back in school. I'm back in church. I got my own apartment, and I work here in this restaurant. I mean, one of the biggest impacts I've ever had in my life was on a homeless man. You understand? So it's like, but the story didn't end there, because my son, you know, my only son, the one that bears my name. Remember, I said he didn't shoot up like my daughters. He struggled, you know, and
right.
finally he told me, he said, "Dad, I'm gonna graduate in 4 years from college." I said, "Right, fantastic, man." But in my mind, I said, "There's no way, he's gonna mess up too much, you know." But I didn't say that to him. But he dug in. He went to summer school. He took statistics and something else, and went back to college and did 22 hours, made a dean's list, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But right a couple of weeks before his graduation, he called me up and he said, "Dad, I was talking to this guy from Cleveland." He was saying the reason he messed up was because of his parents, and he asked me if that was why I messed up, and I told him, "I don't know about you, but my mom and my daddy," and he said, by this time he's crying, "but Daddy, I messed up." So I said, "Son, have you ever heard of Moses?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "He was a murderer." I said, "What about that guy, David? You ever heard of him?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "He was an adulterer and a murderer." I said, "That guy, Saul, that became Paul, you ever heard of him?" He said, "Yeah, Dad." I said, "He was an accessory to murder, not a murderer himself." I said, "You ain't killed nobody yet, have you?" He laughed. I said, "God says that if you're willing to confess and forsake, that he'll forgive. That he'll take your sins, he'll ball them up, he'll cast them into the depths of the sea. And the great God who could forget nothing says he'll remember your sins no more." I said, "If God can forget what you've done, how come you can't forget?"
Mm-hmm.
Now, Juwanza, I'm crying.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just hit me that God got me ready to deal with my son by dealing with a homeless man on the street. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
See, so yeah, destiny. Huh. God gives us all the opportunity, and it's what we do with that opportunity. I think that's the significant thing. And so I give thanks for being able to talk to a homeless man on the street.
You know, that's amazing, Doug. And I'm going to share something that I actually witnessed. Excuse me. There was a relative in my family that was, I believe it was alcohol. I think that was the meeting. And he went to an AA meeting and asked me, he was a part of an AA group, and asked me if I would go with him or whatever to support him. I was saying, "Sure, I'll go with you." So I go to this meeting. There's a gentleman speaking in a suit, a doctor. He's standing before the people in the room, and he's in a suit. Now, looking at this guy, you would never think that this guy probably even had a drink in his life. I mean, he just looked so
mm-hmm.
scholarly. I mean, a brother. He was a brother. He looked just so scholarly. And he was sharing with the room. He said, "You see me standing here today." He said, "I used to be the worst drunk that you will ever meet in your life. I used to be," he said, "my spot was down on, there's an alley on 7th, right, 7th and Florida Avenue." "I used to sleep in that alley." He said, "Now, that was my spot." He said, "I was not just a drunk." He said, "I was the worst drunk you will ever meet in your life." He said, "I was the kind of drunk that people would walk by and maybe kick just to see if he's still alive, you know, kind of kick him, you know, like, you alive or you dead?" He said, "Now, somehow he made it across the street to, I guess it was, I don't know if it was a Popeyes or something on that corner, or some little fast food restaurant." He said he went into, he said, and he found himself looking in the bathroom mirror. Now, he said, what's interesting about that is that normally he would just pee on himself, you know, or just defecate on himself. So he don't know what had him go across there to use the bathroom. He said, but he looked in the mirror and said he saw his own reflection for the first time in years. He said he hadn't combed his head in years. He said his hair was all matted to his head and everything. And he said what he looked at scared him. He said from that day forward, he said he never took another drink. He said, but I had to pick up something or else I would pick up a bottle. He said, so I picked up books. He said, I hadn't graduated from high school, so I went back to school, and I said, I got my GED, and I was so proud of myself, but I realized that if I stopped there, that I would go back to drinking. So he said he started going to college. I guess he must have found out, he must have read up on how to get grants or whatever, because he said he continued on, got his bachelor's degree, and then continued on, and he said he eventually became a doctor. Now, I don't know what kind of doctor, I don't remember what kind of doctor he said he was, or even if he continued on until he got his degree and became a doctor, and he was saying to the group, he was saying, look, nobody in here, you look like you some nice people. He said, nobody in this room looks as though they would ever have to come from as far down as I came from. So if I can come from sleeping in the street, sleeping in an alley off of 7th and Florida Avenue, that was my home. The bricks were my pillow, okay? Then there's no excuse that none of y'all got. So my question back to Destin, was he destined or was it his choice? Just the choices that he made that, hey,
I believe it was his choice. I believe that God directed him over to that mirror.
Mm.
And he put in him the desire to change. But I believe he puts it in all of us. And some of us take advantage of it and some of us quail. You know, we put it down, you know. I was talking to one of my patients who was in the emergency room last evening. You know, he had an event, and he was a little scared, and he asked me, should he go? And I said, look, you know, it's best to be safe than sorry. But it turns out he was fine, and he's on my program. And he told the guy who was waiting on him, the x-ray tech, you know, how he's on this program, and his blood pressure has come down tremendously in just a short period of time. And the tech said, you know, my blood pressure is just so sky high, you know. And he said, you know, he thought the tech would say, you know, what are you doing? He said, but I, you know, he told him, he said, the doctor has me on a very, very strict diet, and I changed my lifestyle. He said, no, I can't do that, man. And so the young man was very disappointed. I said, but don't take that as the last. I said, that's his initial response. I said, but I've learned that people, you can't just listen to that. That people don't see how they can do it, but you keep working with them, you know. God doesn't give up on them, and neither do I, you know. You try to expose them in ways and try to understand. That's one of the reasons I talk about what we're talking about, Thanksgiving, because one of the last thing on my page is how do I teach people, take this thing of being thankful and teach people how to use it to change their lifestyle. See, so what we do is we constantly look at ways to help people who are down. And God gives opportunities through others, but He gives opportunities. You know, I didn't become a doctor because, you know, I was the smartest thing on the block. You know, you didn't become, you know, a therapist and so forth because you were the smartest thing on the block. All of us have help. We all have opportunities.
Right.
To me, that's part of the destiny. You know, but we're all destined to be great. We're all destined to be great. Just some of us choose to be great, and some of us choose not to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to make sure that I take advantage of what God has given me. I don't want to leave anything on the table, you know. And for me, it's not just to help myself be healthy. It's to help others. You know, at age 5, I wanted to be a doctor. Age 5. Maybe I'm destined to be a doctor. I don't know. You know, but I know I had to work very hard to do it. I had to overcome feelings of inadequacy, you know, as well as the poverty issue. But God put people and opportunities there. You know, when I got my job at NIH, one of my friends said, they ain't hiring, you know, the government's on the freeze. I said, I'm getting a job, and I'm getting a job at a certain level. I would go in every day like I was going to work. A guy named Jerry Fells, I'd ride in to work with him. He'd go to work, I'd go looking for a job. I got offered two jobs the same day. But see, my mama back in the projects taught me how to do that. She taught me to get up early. You don't get a job going in late. You got to get up early, and you dress nice. And that's what she taught me in the projects, you know. So, you know, we can do it. We're destined to be great. That's what we're destined to be.
By the way, doctor, did your mother, did she live long enough to see you become a doctor?
She did.
Oh, man, I know she was proud.
Yes, she was.
I know she was.
Yeah. Yeah, and she owns part of the degree, you know. So we have to give thanks to God, and we need to give thanks to others, you know, because you know even somebody that treats us bad, we need to give them thanks because, you know, one preacher said you pray for patience and God gives you a nagging wife. You know, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Well, I know our time is up, but I just hope people will take it, and if they want, if they're willing, they can call my office, Juwan, so go to my website and send us a text, and we will send them out a the sheet that we put together for listing the things that they can be thankful for. We put together a little sheet for that and get started, you know. We don't
have
to.
You just read my mind. That's what I was going
to
ask you. So, yeah, please give your web address so that people can get that information from you. Also, you know, if you're out there and you're listening and you've got, you know, whatever the condition is, you've gotten a bad report from the doctor, I'm going to ask Dr. Watkins to give his information. You definitely might want a second opinion. Before you go the allopathic way, give Dr. Watkins a call. Find out if you can schedule an appointment to meet with him, and you can go over what your options may be. So that you don't just assume that the allopathic doctor's word is the last word or that the results that you got are the final or even accurate results. So you might want to get Dr. Watkins a call and see if you can schedule an appointment with him. Yes, doctor, by all means, how can they reach you if they wanted to get that information on the list of things, how they can do that as far as the thankfulness list?
Yeah, so if they call my office, that number is 202-388-0992. That's 202-388-0992. Or they can go to my website, which is www.TWI. That stands for the Watkins Institute, TWI. The word living.com, TWIliving.com, and just send us a little text that you want that, and we will provide it for you.
By the way, everybody, if you like what you heard today and you want some more, you can scroll down the archives. Okay, we've got all kinds of shows with Dr. Watkins on holistic health. I mean, just you name it. If you know somebody or you've got somebody in your family with cancer or diabetes or arthritis or gout or heart trouble or adrenal fatigue or, you know, whatever the case may be, just scroll down the archives and you've got many, many shows to choose from with Dr. Watkins. Again, he's a regular, comes on once a month. And if that's not enough, Dr. Watkins has his own radio broadcast that comes on every Monday. If you can hold on till tomorrow, then you can hear Dr. Watkins again. Can you just share your information about your show on WPFW?
Yeah, it's entitled To Your Health. It's on Mondays at 2 o'clock. That's 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C., or if you're out of the area, you can go to www.wpfwfm.org, and 2 o'clock, you can get us live. Or you can go into the archives there, to your health. They keep the programs on for a month. And we've been doing some things just to let people know, and we'll perhaps do it on your program. November is Diabetes Awareness Month. Well, we renamed it to Diabetes Reversal Month because we know that we can not only prevent, but we can reverse, especially type 2 diabetes. And so any of your listeners who want to take advantage of that can also call our office or go to the website, and there's actually something there they can click on, www.twiliving.com. And we started a program to reverse diabetes, and we were getting good results. I had some folk who didn't eat a traditional Thanksgiving meal yesterday because they're reversing their diseases, and they're committed.
I want to say hats off to those people, because it's easy to say, you know, I'll get started after Thanksgiving. Let me just eat this last meal. But then after you do that, then it's like, you know, I'll start after Christmas. You know, I mean, for those who actually took the step, you know, and said, you know, I'm going to put my health first and, you know, make the changes that I need to make so that I can change these results. You know, I commend them. Diabetes, Doc, is, you know, I've been told that diabetes, a lot of people have been taking diabetic medication for years, but they'd be surprised at how easy it is to cure. Would you agree?
Oh, yes. We get our patients off diabetic medicines within the first week. And then from there, it's we move toward healing, and so we God has blessed us. I mean, He's blessed us, and we can help if a person is serious. But it takes change, and it's drastic change. But I some people say it's extreme, but to me, sticking a person in the eye with a needle is extreme. You know,
cutting their chest open, doing heart surgery.
Yeah,
that's
extreme. Going on dialysis 3 days a week, that's for 4 hours a day. That's extreme. So, you know, but once again, you have to decide that this is what you want, and that you're willing to work for it. And if you're willing to work for it, you can get it. You know, be thankful for the opportunity that God has given you.
And I guess part of being thankful is taking care of what you've been given. You know, if you're really, really thankful for your health, you'll try to maintain it. You know, if you're thankful for the life that God has given you, you will try to do your best. If you, in fact, find yourself that your health is waning, you will, you know, do whatever it takes to get it back. You know, so
and it's amazing because I've had people to call multiple times and said, I was just turning the channel and I heard you. And how can I get in touch with you and come in and change? All right. I don't think that's an accident. I don't think it's happened multiple times. You know, if it just happened once, that's one thing. So God will give you an opportunity. There are people who just happen to tune in to today. Now, what are you going to do with the opportunity? You know, and it's not about Ted Watkins. See, I'm not the healer. God has just provided me with information to help people to get well. You know, but ultimately, He's the healer. You know, He gives you an opportunity. What are you going to do with it? Give thanks.
Preach. Preach, man.
Amen. It's awesome.
You know, God is so good, man. And I want to give thanks for you, Dr. Watkins. I mean, just for all of the years that you've been on this path, helping and healing people. You know, there is a scripture where it talks about how Jesus healed a group of people and only one came back to say thank you. You know, you know, for all of the people that haven't come back to say thank you, you know, I'm saying thank you for them, Doc, for all of the years of your, even just the years of you studying, you know, just because you had to study to get to pass the exams to get to where you are today. So just for all those years that you had to study, that you sacrificed, that you didn't go out and hang out, you know, to make the decision to say, no, I got work to do.
But it wasn't a sacrifice. I was doing what I wanted to do. And so, yes, I remember studying to the MCAT. The library was right next to the basketball court, and I loved to play basketball. But I chose to go up in the library instead. So it's choices that we make, and God honors those choices. You know, He honors those choices, and you know, if you want to be a drunk, God will honor that choice. You know, not that that's what He wants, but He honors that because He's given us the right. That's right, the free will, the right to choose, and so. Choose life. You know, what did Joshua say? Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know.
Well, for those who didn't make it to church this morning, you got it here. You got it. My God. Somebody might say, where does this brother preach? You know. He was like, I want to go to his church, you know. But, you know, I just want to say again, Doc, thank you so much, man, for being a guest on this show, for, again, the lives that you've touched, for all of the years that you've rendered unto our people. You know, we can be stubborn, man, as you well know. We can be very stubborn, hard-headed, stiff-necked, you know, don't want to listen, you know. But you hung in there with us. So thank you so much for your patience.
The devil comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So we have an opportunity, and even though we're stubborn, even though we've been falling down the wrong path, we can choose to change. And so I believe it starts at giving thanks to even hearing this talk today, and being willing to take advantage of it. You know, giving thanks that you want to get well, and knowing that God is going to provide for you an opportunity. And take advantage
And like you always say, beginning is half done, right?
Beginning is half done.
Everybody, my special guest today is Dr. Ted Watkins. Make sure that you give him a call. Check him out tomorrow, WPFW. Like I said, this wasn't enough. You want some more? You can check him out every Monday on WPFW. That's at 2 p.m. And that web address, Doc, if they want to catch you online, is what?
Is WPFWFM.com. .org. WPFW.
And that's 2 o'clock every Monday.
.org. FM.
And the call-in number. Do you have the call-in number for that?
It's 89.3 FM. 89.3 Washington D.C.
Doug, again, any parting words for our listeners on thankfulness, my brother? You've laid it out. We've got a lot to be thankful for, and there are perks that come along with being thankful. Your health is tied to your thankfulness. So, you know, again, any parting words, Doc?
It's just that we need to recognize that maybe the beginning is to recognize where we are and to give thanks for where we are. and not have that pity party. Stop having the pity party. Start being thankful and decide, Lord, if you brought me here, you can take me to this next level. And Shula says we can go from peak to peak. We can get to one peak, we get a peak of a higher peak. And we go to that peak, we get a peak of a higher peak. And we keep going till we're at the top of the mountain. And so let's start today. Let's start by giving thanks and appreciating that we still have breath. And where there's life and breath, there's opportunity. I want to thank you, Juwanza, for your faithfulness and your commitment to the community. And
thank you.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, my
God bless.
Brother. God bless. Everybody, don't forget, you're going to do the thankfulness, not quiz, but exercise, okay? You're going to contact Dr. Watkins so that you can do the thankfulness exercise. You're going to write down what you're thankful for, okay, because, again, there are benefits to that. And something about writing. When you write something down, it sticks with you as opposed to just thinking about it. You got to write. Put it on paper. Put the pen to the paper and see what difference that makes. Dr. Watkins, I'll be in touch as always, sir. Fabulous, fabulous show, my brother. Oh, my God. Everybody, don't forget to scroll down the archives. And you can share this show with others. You heard this show and you liked it and you know that there's somebody that you know that wasn't listening that needs to hear it. All you have to do is just share it, okay? If you're thankful for this show, part of your thankfulness can be expressed by sharing it. So until the next time, Dr. Watkins, again, my brother, peace be with you, my brother. Thank you again.
Likewise. God bless.
Everybody, that is Dr. Ted Watkins. Again, check him out tomorrow on WPFW. That's every Monday. That's if you're in Washington, D.C. area, that's 89.3 FM, 89.3 FM at 2 p.m. And if you're listening online, wherever you are in the world, that's WPFW.org, www.WPFW.org. 2 p.m. Don't miss them. My name is Juwanza. Thank you so much, everybody, for taking the time out of your day to tune in to listen to this show. We've got so much to be thankful for. And it's more than just acknowledging that that's true. You know, it's so much more than just acknowledging and agreeing with the fact that we have so much to be thankful for. We could all agree that, yeah, we do. But it's when you actually write it down, really count your blessings, okay? There are health benefits to that. Aside from it just being the right thing to do, thank the people in your life that deserve thanks. Thank them, the people in your life that have come into your life and have made a difference in your life, however small, however large, thank them, okay? Be thankful for the opportunities that you have to grow, okay? Be thankful for the ability to listen to a show like this. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Okay? My name is Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who in giving receives more. Who are you?